Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Thank you for listening to Spirit-Filled Podcasts. Please visit Spirit-Filled Radio for more great programs.
It's time for the Renewal of the Mind radio program with Father Patrick Gagneau. And here's your host, John Stockwell.
Thank you, Austin. Welcome back to the Renewal of the Mind radio program. Father Patrick, here we are, and the phone lines are already lighting up.
Right on. Well, a warm welcome to everybody back. And for you first-time visitors, please email johnstockwell@gmail.com for your free Renewal of the Mind radio t-shirt. John, are the shirts in yet?
They are not.
And that was a fake email address.
Yes.
We're not large enough scale yet to get t-shirts and be distributing them. But
if you have a question, you can always go to renewalradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we thank you for those who have sent us a note. Thank you so much.
Right.
Well, John, I know you're chomping at the bit to know, what is the Motown song of the episode?
Father Patrick, what is the Motown song of the episode?
It is the Elgins.
Whoa!
This song hit number 50 on the charts in 1966. It is a great song for the series we're about to begin on the Holy Spirit. It is called Heaven Must Have Sent You by the Elgins. And I think the hook goes like this. Heaven must have sent you into my heart. Yeah,
oh, very
man.
Good. Very good.
I mean, if the Elgins couldn't make the tour and they needed a backup, I mean, I might be number 47 on the list. No, 447. Hey. Heaven must have sent you. Keep practicing.
I'm sure we can make a few calls. I bet there is some version of that band still touring, and you will just sneak in there.
Heaven, and then get thrown up by a security guard.
Yes.
Heaven, but John and I are always up for a good time.
Yes.
Heaven must have sent you into my heart. Isn't that a great description of the gift of the Holy Spirit?
That is right.
So this episode begins, our friends, two potentially three-part series on the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit.
It jumped up a notch.
Oh, wow.
Bam.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it's awesome. In John's Gospel, the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. I love it, man.
I'm ready.
Well, my friend, ready, set, go. John, you want to pray like you know?
All right.
I'm rhyming.
The Father, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing us together for today's radio program. And to the people that are listening, just let them leave their cares at the doorstep and put all their trust in you, because that's what we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mary, Queen of Pentecost.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints, please.
Pray for us.
Woo! In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Here we go.
So, John.
Yes.
What is your favorite gospel?
My favorite gospel, I think it's probably Matthew. Due to the fact, due to my news background, I like the way Matthew is very short and direct and to the point. Like like if I was writing it, that's how I would write. Mm. It's just he writes it like a news reporter, like real quick, boom, 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 boom.
I love how he's always connecting the Old Testament prophecies. Like it's perfect that it's the beginning of the New Testament.
And not like I don't like the other ones. It's just I'm always drawn to that because I like the style.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm over here shimmying the studio we're recording in right now.
Yes.
It sounds like we've done airplane mode before. We might do it again with the air conditioning, but John's watching me try to shimmy out. I got an arm stuck in my cleric trying to get my arm out of it. Just whoo. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Good to have as a priest. When you wear a black undershirt, just a good old black undershirt, you still feel like priestly when you take your cleric off.
Right.
Right?
I agree.
We've never done a wardrobe segment, and we'll never do another one.
Can you buy clerics in a different color, or is that not allowed? Can you get one that's white or gray?
You know, I've seen in other countries like where it's super duper hot, like Caribbean, like them wearing different colors. But in the U.S., I think you got me. I'm pretty sure the color in the U.S. is, in the United States, is black from, like the standard from, I'd have to look. Great question, man.
So I can't go to clerics.com and get you a whole rainbow of colors to
buy,
wear.
Like, you can buy you white, a blue one, and I've seen guys wear it before. I just think like the standard default, and there's probably something written on it too, but standard default is black. All right.
That's cool.
Yeah, but hey, to be continued. We'll bring that back up at another time, friends.
Yes, Austin, cancel the order for the colorful cleric.
Let me check.
Okay, thank you. All
right. Oh, wait, the phones are ringing up.
Hello, Renewal of the Mind. No, he does not need any more clerics.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello, Renewal of the Mind.
I'm just going to put these people on hold. Going crazy.
Hang up, John. Hang up. It's the same person. They just keep changing their voice.
No.
Let's harass those guys again.
I'm calling the show.
Okay.
My favorite gospel, if I had to pick one, it's hard to pick. They go together. Right. The four together form a beautiful portrait of the life of Jesus. But John's gospel, just melts me.
And that's the movie script.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
And in chapters 13 through 17, these are chapters from John, the beloved disciple, who was at the Last Supper, who laid his head on the heart of Jesus at the Last Supper. And these chapters, 13 through 17, recount the Last Supper. And it's here in these chapters that we see Jesus, we find Jesus teaching richly about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to dive into the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit. But first, a little bit of the context of the Last Supper, that Jesus... It's the first Catholic Mass, and he arrives there at the Last Supper as the divine bridegroom. And this is one of the, it's coming to the pinnacle moment in the Paschal mystery when he would suffer on the cross and die, be crucified, suffer, die, and rise from the dead. And this climactic moment in the story of salvation, we have Jesus, the divine bridegroom, fulfilling prophecies and bringing into being this new and eternal covenant. As we talk about the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit, it makes our hearts burn to really live out what he taught about life in the Spirit when we grasp the big context that God, from the beginning of the Scriptures in the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, is revealing that God has a plan to be in an eternal marriage bond with his people forever. You know, it's the wedding feast of the Lamb, Revelation 19, when John sees into heaven and says, I heard a sound like rushing waters, and he hears the wedding day of the Lamb has come. And so the Scriptures begin, Adam and Eve, with this, well, when God creates man and woman, there's a wedding at the beginning of the Scriptures and a wedding to conclude the Scriptures, the wedding feast of the Lamb forever in heaven. And these prophecies in Isaiah 61, where God, as a young man marries his virgin, so shall your builder marry you, that God through the prophet Isaiah speaks of this marital bond to come between God and his people. And then that famous passage where Jesus is asked, that, hey, the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they fast. How come yours don't? And Jesus says, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? How can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? When he's taken away, then they'll fast. And he's calling himself the bridegroom. And so he comes to the Last Supper as a divine bridegroom, bringing into being even now this marital bond between God and his people. The bride of Christ is the church. He's bringing in this marital bond to being the new and eternal covenant. And the vows he'll take are, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. This is my blood, which will be poured out for you. Those are his vows. And then on the cross, his actions will consummate and bring into being this marital bond between God and his people.
Don't touch that dial. The Renewal of the Mind radio program. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Renewal of the Mind with host Father Patrick Gagneau and John Stockwell on Spirit-Filled Radio. If you enjoy this program, please drop us a line at spiritfilledmedia.org.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're so excited to offer you Spirit-Filled Radio. And we love to hear from our listeners. Email us at info@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's info@spiritfilledhearts.org. God bless you.
Here at Spirit-Filled Radio, we've got stories, and we bring encouragement. Listen to these wise words from a sister who happens to be a millennial. She was a recent guest on Father Augustine and Friends, Sister Gemma.
Just like we need food to eat, we need air to breathe, we really need prayer to keep us grounded and to help us live a sacramental life and to help us see clearly what we need to do. I have a lot of friends that I keep in contact with, and I know the first few years when they get married, everything is beautiful, but there are also a lot of challenges with marriage, with both vocations really. Sure. But never to think that the grass is greener on the other side too, that whatever vocation that God wants for you, there will be challenges, but when it does get difficult, not to give up and think that it would be easier if you were to do something else, because the vocation that God has for you is what will make you the most fully alive, the most fulfilled, the most happy, even though it will be difficult and it will be challenging. So not to give in to fear or discouragement, but to really have recourse to prayer and strength that God will pull you through when it is very, very difficult.
Beautiful, beautiful words, Sister Gemma.
For more, come visit at spiritfilledmedia.org. That's spiritfilledmedia.org, in partnership with the Diocese of Orange, Southern California.
And now back to the Renewal of the Mind radio program with Father Patrick Gagneau and your host, John Stockwell.
Thank you, Austin. Visit us on the web. Click on Catholic.com. You can find out all about Corpus Christi Catholic Community in Detroit. Father Patrick, segment two is underway.
On the cross, Jesus the bridegroom, he's consummating his love for the bride, giving himself fully in sacrificial love in his saving death on the cross that would definitively establish the bond of the new and eternal covenant. He gave the vows. This is my body. This is my blood. The words of consecration that we still use at this Mass. My favorite part of being a Catholic priest is those words. They are the most beautiful words I have ever heard. I get to say them, but it is Jesus. I mean, we can all recite the scripture, and it'd be good to pray those words. And at the altar, it is truly Jesus through the priest speaking those words. His vows, take this all of you and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you. And take this all of you and drink of it. This is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. Those vows, and then the consummation of the bridegroom on the cross. And this is why theology, there's a, you know, sometimes in theological traditions, the cross is called the marriage bed. It's the marriage bed of Christ. And this wedding feast begins when Jesus the bridegroom lays down his life, and then from his side, when the soldier pierced his side, just as Adam's bride came from his side, God took out a rib and formed a woman, the bride of Christ, the church, when his side was pierced and blood and water poured out, the blood symbolizing what he's done to forgive us of our sins, and also the gift of the Eucharist that he continues to feed us on, and the waters of baptism, and from his side comes forth the gift of his bride, the church. And now, in the Last Supper teachings of Jesus that we're going to get into, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can truly live in this new and eternal covenant, this marital bond with God, vibrantly even now. And it's just awesome to think for a minute about how he could have chose to do it just once, you know, lay everything down on the cross. And yet, as St. Teresa of Calcutta said, when you look at the cross, crucifix, you see how much he loved you then. When you look at the Eucharist, you see how much he loves you now, that the bridegroom Jesus continues to give himself on the altar to the bride, the church, that this wedding feast experience, the wedding feast of the Lamb, you know, continues to be offered to us to participate in a most amazing way through the gift of the Mass. And John, what's your thoughts in these moments about, you know, the gift of the Mass and the wedding feast of the Lamb? Whew.
I just want to say, I love it when you're celebrating Mass, and many times before the Eucharistic prayers begin, you take 30 seconds to remind the congregation about what is about to happen. You know, a miracle is about to take place here. And I always think that's really good just so people don't start taking it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just fantastic. But and it's great to hear the priests say the words of consecration. It's what Jesus said. And
we're still doing it. Come on.
You know, and he left us this gift to sustain us in this fallen world. There's no way, you know, we could make it without it. And always remember, the manna from heaven was supernatural bread. So the Eucharist has to be greater than that.
Come on. Amen.
The Eucharist cannot just be like you're going to Meijer and buying a loaf of bread.
Right on. And it's there's this woman.
Supernatural bread.
Come on. There's a woman who comes to our daily mass here at the parish. She's an awesome dear daughter of God, either late 70s or early 80s, but she calls it the breakfast of champions
when
she comes to daily mass. And what you said, thanks for the word of encouragement about the fervorino that is given before the Eucharistic prayer. The general instruction of the Roman Missal, also affectionately known as the germ, indicates that after the prayer over the offer, after the prayer over the gifts, after the prayer over the bread and wine, that the celebrant can make give a brief statement there to basically stir hearts to what's about to happen. And the person I've seen do it all the time is the Archbishop. And I'm like, hey, take note from him.
You know, he is a pretty good guy to follow.
Yeah.
If you want to imitate somebody, he's an awesome dude.
Yeah. I love him. Praise be Jesus. He ordained me a priest. Thanks, Archbishop.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
Maybe. Praise the Lord.
I'll make some calls.
That'd be fun. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So now, my friends, back we dive into the upper room. Heaven must have sent you into my heart. Yeah. I mean, we're getting into content here. We're going to read scripture, and really, we're believing that Jesus is joining us right here because this is his idea, the Last Supper and the gift of the Eucharist and what he taught us about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's even now mystically gazing in the eyes of Jesus the bridegroom at the Last Supper that we can listen to Jesus, our perfect teacher, and grow in wisdom that he wants to give each of us about the way to live in the Holy Spirit. The gift that he's given us to help us continue to grow and grow in the fullness of God's all-encompassing love in our lives, lived in a relationship with God first and foremost, but then in others, letting our relationship with God transform the way that we live in this world and the way that we treat others. So we go to the Last Supper with Jesus now. In John 13, we start off with, you know, the beautiful words where we hear that fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. And then we hear that he began to wash the disciples' feet. And then he'll tell them, he says, do you realize, and this sets it up so beautifully, the teachings on the Holy Spirit, do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. Those words of Jesus at the Last Supper, as he does this radical act, you know, in that culture, in that time, it would be like the house servant who would wash the person's feet. It was quite an act for Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to get down and wash their feet. And he says to them, I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. John, how does that stir for you when you hear those words of Jesus saying, I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done, you also should do?
It's something that we all, you know, need to follow, and especially, you know, I can find it hard at times, you know, again, just due to my fallen nature and my own selfishness to really just kind of truly, you know, lay down my ego and do things like he did. But you find that the more you serve people, the more, you know, the more you like it. Yeah.
And that's such a vivid image of servanthood that, you know, when Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve, you know? Whew. And I love your honesty about, like, the old Adam in each of us, the old Eve in each of us that wants to rise up through concupiscence.
Well, and I always want to mention that too, so if people are listening, they don't think, I could never do that. Yeah, you can, but realize, you know, there are times you fall. There are times where you give in to your selfishness or whatever other, like, as you say, fiery dart, you know, the evil one throws at you.
St. Paul, chapter 6 of Ephesians is where I picked it up from, the fiery darts, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
But, so, and something else, too, that Jesus always talks about when he talks about, you know, we need to celebrate now that the bridegroom is with them.
Come on.
You know, and I always like to tell people that in their own lives. If parents are complaining about their kids or kids complaining about their parents or siblings not getting along, I always like to say, enjoy this time you have together right now.
Yeah.
Because someday when you're no longer together, you're going to miss this.
Yeah.
You're going to wish you could have a disagreement with your sister. You're going to wish you could tell your kids, you know, to stop squirting each other with squirt guns. You're going to wish you could have a disagreement with your mom. It's like, just enjoy your time together.
It's wise.
Yeah. And
we sure look forward to relationships being perfected in heaven. But even now, I was just thinking that with a family I was with the other day. The kids are playing, the three kids they have, and I just trying to communicate to the kids, like, enjoy this. Like, there'll be a day you look back and you wish you it's the joy of just being a child and being loved and being able to play. And that's a beautiful take on what you heard when he says, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? And I love that at the Last Supper, as we get into the teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit, that the key words right out of the gate when he washes feet is he says, I have given you a model. I have given you a model to follow. Jesus is the model for the Christian life. He is the one we are being conformed to. And as Jesus would go off and pray, let's take a break.
Don't touch that dial. The Renewal of the Mind radio program. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Renewal of the Mind with host Father Patrick Gagneau and John Stockwell on Spirit-Filled Radio. If you enjoy this program, please drop us a line at spiritfilledmedia.org.
This is Spirit-Filled Radio, a 24/7 radio platform to enliven your faith and go forward with a bold witness. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell a friend about Spirit-Filled Radio. This is Alexis Wachenstein, and you're listening to a 24/7 Catholic radio platform. Spirit-Filled Radio is a nonprofit ministry brought to you to embolden your faith and fortify you in the times in which we live. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
And now back to the Renewal of the Mind radio program with Father Patrick Gagneau and your host, John Stockwell.
Thank you, Austin. We are back, Father Patrick. It is segment 3. We are moving along in the upper room.
Heaven must have sent you into my heart.
Well, every time you start singing, Elgin's, the phone lines just light up.
Yeah, stop! Okay. Stop! Hello, they're calling just to say stop.
Hello, Renewal of the Mind. No, that song is not real.
All right.
I think that one by the Elgins, Heaven Must Have Sent You, is definitely one of the lesser known Motown songs, but it's a good tune. And for those who might be catching the first episode of Renewal of the Mind, we are out of Detroit, Corpus Christi Catholic Church, Northwest Detroit, and our radio studio is here at Corpus Christi Catholic Church. So we record, we are probably just about, you could get to Hitsville, USA in about 13 minutes from where we're at.
So I would agree. I would say 12.
If John's driving. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, that Prius gets going pretty fast.
His favorite sport is NASCAR.
You know it is.
There will be an episode on if NASCAR is a sport. Okay, it is. Refrain from the hate mail, anybody. How dare you? No, I used to love when I was a kid. Yeah, that was, I do, yeah.
Dude, sitting inside a 150-degree car with a fire suit for 3 hours.
No, it's a sport. It's a racing
game. It really is.
So, yes. All right. So, in this first episode on the series of the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit, we've just laid out that the divine bridegroom, Jesus, he comes to the Last Supper as a divine bridegroom, giving his vows in the words of consecration, and then consummating his commitment on the cross, laying down his life for his bride, the church. And so at the Last Supper, he starts by washing feet and then telling them, I've given you a model to follow. And this is huge, because the only way we're going to be able to follow that model, live that model, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, fast forwarding a little bit in chapter 13, some of the most powerful words in the New Testament. When Jesus says at the Last Supper, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus gives this incredible new commandment. I give you a new commandment, he says. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay. All right. Like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved perfectly in the flesh. He perfectly demonstrated the love of God. He is, you know, as the letter to the Hebrews says, in various times and ages past, God spoke to us in many ways, but in these final days, he has spoken to us through a Son who is the very refulgence of his being, the imprint of his being. I mean, as he says, who's ever seen me, seen the Father. Jesus demonstrates. Imagine you're walking with Jesus for 3 years like the apostles, and the way that he loves, the way that he is, and then he says to the guys at the Last Supper, this is the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.
And it sounds so simple. That's all you need to do. And just, he set the example for them. And then when he ascended, he said, all right, go do it. Or wait for the Holy Spirit, then go do it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, could you imagine, like, watching him the way he is every day, being in close quarters with him, how often they were faced with their own limitations?
Oh, yeah.
And then he says, now you do what I did. It's like, that's like, yes. Now go high jump 8 feet. Yes. When I just gave you, just like, we're just learning to high jump, like, oh my gosh.
Right.
Which make the Last Supper teachings on the Holy Spirit even better.
Absolutely.
Because it's through the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Advocate, that he gives us, that we are empowered to truly live out the model of Jesus Christ that he lays out for us, and to follow the new commandment and find life in it, that love one another as I have loved you. It's through the Holy Spirit. And that's why this series on the teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit at the Last Supper, I think, is so cool, because in these five passages we're going to walk through, 10 verses, these different moments where Jesus is teaching about the Holy Spirit, there's the functionality, not to sound like a part, but the functionality of, like, this is what the Spirit is going to help you do. And as we know what the Spirit wants to help us do, we can lean in, we can cooperate with that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was just listening to what you're saying.
Oh, I love it. I know, my friend. I was just catching a quick little breath there.
That's, and I'm answering all the phone calls, too, about your they're critiquing your singing. 85% of the people like it, though.
So. Oh, my gosh. That's my family. So that's my family. All right. We keep trucking now in John chapter 14.
All right.
When
keep on Jesus trucking. Says, that's a good phrase. When I was in junior high, that's what people always said, t-shirts. It's a on trucking.
And if you listen in the background, you'll hear a truck coming down good old Pembroke Speedway.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
So here we go. When
they're bringing our new shipment of Father Patrick bobbleheads.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. Send them back. So here we go. In my Father's house, Jesus continues the teaching on the Last Supper, as we're concluding this first episode and getting ready to do the getting into the scriptures about Jesus' teachings on the Holy Spirit at the Last Supper. We'll get into that in segment episode 2 in this series. But Jesus says, in my Father's house there's many dwelling places, and if there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. And then he says, where I am going, you know the way. And Thomas says, Master, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus said, where I am going, you know the way, that we are supposed to walk that way, to follow him, and that he is the way and the truth and the life. So the Holy Spirit that he gives us helps us to know how to live the way, the truth, and the life. We'll keep going on the Last Supper teachings of Jesus on the Holy Spirit in the next episode. But for now, even now, ask, Holy Spirit, show me the way. Holy Spirit, show me the way. And you're well on your way to the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. God bless you, friends.
The Renewal of the Mind radio program is a production of Corpus Christi Catholic Community in Detroit, Michigan. Visit us on the web at clickoncatholic.com. Send us an email at renewalradio@gmail.com.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.